Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sean Maguire's Midday Show. This is People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And today I will be talking to, or I have already spoken to, I must explain, Ollie Damigard from lightonconspiracies.com. Ollie was unable to appear here at midday. He is being taken elsewhere. So I am going to play a tune, and then followed by the tune, I will go straight into a pre-recorded interview that I have just had with Ollie Damigard since about 10:30 this morning. So here we go. We're going to start off the show with Ocean Colour Scene and Prophet in Peace.
All the people on the broken homes don't want to fight no more. All the people nursing shattered bones don't want to fight no more. But there's no prophet in peace, so we've got to fight some more. And all those who are in foreign lands don't want to fight no more. And all those who lost their feet or hands don't want to fight no more. But there's no prophet in peace, boys, we've got to fight some more. Hey, we don't wanna fight no more. Hey, 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 we don't wanna fight no more. There's no profit in peace, boys, we gotta fight some more. And all of us just trying to play their part, don't wanna fight no more. And all of us who want a human heart, there's no profit in what you want, so we must fight some more. And all of us, we got an axe to grind, don't wanna fight no more. And all of us, we got the burning lights, don't wanna fight no more. But there's no profit in ever being right, so we must fight some more. Hey, we don't wanna fight no more. People never going home, don't want to fight no more. There is profit in the land you own, so we must fight some more. But all those who got a tired face don't want to fight no more. And all those who lost without a trace don't want to fight no more. But there is profit in the love I hate, so we must fight some more.
No more. Hey!
And good afternoon, everybody. This is Sean Maguire on his midday show. This is also a bit of a pre-record. It is 10:30, well, 24 minutes past 10 on the 17th of the 11th, 2015. And we were to do this interview at midday live, but unfortunately with so much going on and Ollie Damagard being in such demand, I am privileged to at least get him, grab him and take him onto my show right now. Ollie, are you with me?
I sure am.
Listen, Ollie, it's so good to hear your voice again. You've been out there very busy touring around the place and speaking at many, many events, etc. But it all ends in Paris, doesn't it?
We're back there where we started this year. It's exactly... It started with Charlie Hebdo in January, then it continued. Well, it actually started in Dublin a month or so before, but with a failed attempt. I think it was on a power plant in Dublin. And then the second one was in January in Charlie Hebdo. Then came the Copenhagen shooting that I was able to publicly predict 1 month before it happened. And then they were aiming at Italy, but I think we managed to make them cancel that one because it just got too exposed what was going down. And now here in the fall here, it's like we're getting a second version of the same terror wave, but in a reversed order. There was a massive big drill on the 11th of November in Denmark, just a few days before this happened. And I had... warned a lot of people and so a lot of people in Denmark were there at the university in Copenhagen filming this drill, because a drill is so essential in this, false flag operations.
They seem to happen every time, Ollie, don't they?
It is standard. It really is like making a, you know, it's like making a pie. You need certain ingredients to make a pie. You can change the flavor and the smell of it, but more or less the standard ingredients needs to be there. And it's the same with these false flag attacks. You need the same things involved. And one of the major ingredients is a drill. And the drill is there, in my opinion, to be able to get the vehicles in positions, crisis actors in positions, explosives, logistics, like catering, because these things takes time to set up and people need toilet, they need food, they need coffee, all of these things, they need makeup, facilities and so on. So these things needs to be set up beforehand if it is a staged event.
So okay, Ollie, is and are the Paris shootings a staged event?
It is a very, very good question and very tricky to answer at this point. I would say that it's a total black op. It's a total inside job. Forget about ISIS. This has nothing to do with ISIS. And by the way, ISIS is sponsored and created by the CIA, Mossad, and so on, used as a terror tool to freak us out because we were getting so... Al-Qaeda, that was also their totally their creation, was getting so lame that they couldn't even scare babies with it anymore. So they needed to upgrade and do. In came ISIS from out of absolute nowhere. Mm-hmm. So this thing that they try to point towards ISIS, which is their own tool of terror, it's just to divert the attention away from what actually happened, because this was a military staged operation carried out by mercenaries or skilled killers, if anyone was really killed there. I know this sounds outrageous. I need to put a major question mark around this whole thing, because the more you look into it, the more odd things pop up.
Yeah, have we names? Have we families? Have we people affected?
There are these names coming out here, but it's very... I would like maybe if we can take it step by step.
Of course, of course.
Because it sounds like I'm totally off my rockers, you know, that I have no idea. I'm just one of these tinfoil hats just saying things. But I've spent some 30 years looking into false flags and top political assassinations. And For those who don't know what a false flag is, where the name comes from, it's an old naval term where in the old days, if a nation wanted to just go in, crush a small nation or tribe or whatever, if they just did that, it could sometimes create conflicts with neighboring countries and these type of things. So what they did instead was to become the victim of this whole thing so that they would then be the hero. They put the enemy's flag on their own ship, then let their own ship attack themselves and say, oh my God, we're under attack. And then that justified them going in and totally conquer, rape, slaughter, whatever it is that there was their agenda. And these false flags have been used so, so many times that I tell you, when you look at modern warfare, it's more or less every single war has been started based on a false flag.
Absolutely.
It's nothing new. Absolute nothing new.
So step one, it would make anybody with a critical mind look into whether or not this was a false flag.
Yeah, the things that it's very important, I think, to not scream false flag right away, because many people do that as soon as they see some smoke somewhere or hear an explosion. Oh, it's a false flag. You need to be very, very careful, at least if you're in my position, where, because I put my name on the line every time these things happen.
Yeah.
But there's so many of them, they've really escalated the rate of them. And I think what we're seeing this fall, we've been waiting for like a Wagner crescendo to where they were trying to just get us from all different directions at the same time. And in this total chaos, out of that, boom, they would take over, a full overtake, forceful overtake, and then from there on create what they called the New World Order. Out of the ruins, create order out of chaos.
Absolutely. I mean, recently, people are being fooled, I think, and it's obviously only my own opinion, I must state that it is my opinion. I mean, people have been fooled now that Russia is the good guy, but it's all an act, both sides, and Putin is just one of the gang, one of the actors, in my opinion, as I said. And, you know, he's now talking about a new world order, interestingly, in his recent speeches. That they will be in control of the new world order type of thing. So, and that the future beckons it. So he's actually saying what, you know, George Bush Senior said many years ago, and it's part of what I think is a very well orchestrated and incredibly intelligent script.
Intelligent, I don't know if I agree with you. Totally mad would be a more precise description.
Well, they're narcissists, but, I think. I mean, you're saying that they want a new world order. You know, they're acting like narcissists. That's what they are. Psychopathic, inbred narcissists. It's unbelievable.
We are at a stage, at a point in history where everything is turned upside down. Black is white, white is black, good is bad, bad is good. You know,
it's real like Orwellian stuff, isn't it?
Totally, totally. Everything has just been turned upside down, and that is why we need to unlearn so much at this point and start looking with a, I would say brainwash is a beautiful word. We need to wash our brains from all this dirt and crap that has been pumped in there. So we get a very clean and open way of seeing what goes down. And just look at it step by step by step.
Yeah, you've changed the word brainwashing then, because brainwashing to me would be a negative thing. What you're saying is clean the brain, as in brainwashing.
Clean the brain. Everybody else sees it as negative, but that word itself, I think, well, sounds good to me. Let's wash it out, give it a good rinse.
Very good.
And let go of all predetermined opinions and just look at it, see what happened, what was going down. And where are the proofs? Where are the proofs? Show me the evidence. Mm. So here we are. Well, I can say the drill, one of the drills, there's always, always, always a drill involved when it comes to these big ones. You had it at the 7/7 bombings. You had it when Estonia sunk. You had 9/11. You had it's every single time. The Madrid bombings, it's there. And so that is essential. So you need were to check out, was there a drill this day in Paris? And yes, there was a drill, what is called an MCI, mass casualty incident, where lots and lots of police, fire brigade and ambulance services were involved. They were prepared for an incident like this. The way that this came out, that we've heard about this, is that there's an interview with a man. His name is Patrick pronunciation. Pelot, I think, is his name. He's the one who came on radio and talked very openly about this drill. Now, if you check out this guy, because I always, when there are people in the center of these dramas, check them out, check them out, check them out. That's standard, and you need to do it. So this Patrick Pelot, he was, he's quite an interesting character. He's a doctor, but in 2011, he was in front of the Charlie Hebdo building when that was set on fire. Okay. Then in 2015, in January, he was connected to the Charlie Hebdo staff. And then while the shooting was going on, he received a phone call from one of the guys in there, one of his friends. And this guy said, please, we're being murdered, slaughtered here. Please come and help us. So he ran to the Charlie Hebdo building. He was very close to when it happened. He ran there and he was there giving, first aid and tried to save these people. Then he picked up his mobile and he called the French prime minister. I don't know about you, Sean, but do you have like Obama's number, direct number in your mobile? I do not know.
No, if I had, I'd use it.
But that is what he did. He called this guy and said, my God, this is what happened. Okay. Then afterwards, he was on TV crying for the victims and so on. So you check him out and, whoa, there's a filmography, you know, like a his career as an actor as well, where he's been in at least two big productions as a doctor, playing as a doctor. So not only is he apparently a doctor, but also an actor, which is perfect when you want to get these emotions going over TV. And then here he is again, a central figure in this one, talking about the drill that was ongoing. So...
Why would he be talking about the drill? Why wouldn't they hide the fact that they're doing drills, etc.? Can they not do that?
They can, but then again, if you got like 600-700 people involved that thinks that it's a security drill, I mean, the thing is, all of these operations are totally compartmentalized. People, normal ambulance drivers and police officers, have no idea what's going on. They're just taking part of a drill. And normal police then, when it actually goes down from what they call slow thinking to fast acting, when the drill suddenly goes live, they have no idea and they're positioned on the outskirts of the events. So boom, boom, bombs goes off and normal police are put, you know, to close off the streets to secure pedestrians so nobody gets hurt and so on. And they think that they're doing their job, not understanding that what just happened behind them was a false flag carried out by professionals.
Yeah.
So many people involved in these drills and so on, if they didn't go out officially and talk about it, then you would have maybe 700 people saying, oh, hang on, I was there doing this and this and this. But now it's out there in the open. Hopefully they could sort of just squeeze it in at the corner saying, no, we didn't try to hide anything. It's out there, but very few people are aware of it.
Okay, so open in plain sight type of thing.
That hidden in plain sight.
That's the one.
This is they pump it out there, but they leak it out. So it's just like, whoop, there it is. And no, sorry, you didn't notice. And that's your mistake. Then you have, did anyone know about it beforehand? And why was it carried out on a Friday? And especially on Friday the 13th. When you look at many of these big false flag operations, they have a very dark and sinister root. Their roots are into very sinister things.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it was the same date that in Paris that they actually killed loads of Templars or the Templars killed loads of people. I'm not quite sure which way around that was.
No, that is the exact date. That is where Friday the 13th come from. This, everybody fears Friday the 13th. It's from that exact event. Mm. And it was the Templars being slaughtered in France. So, but when you look at these false flags in Toronto, in Boston, you know, it's Veterans Day, it's Patriots Day, it's Valentine's Day, it's Halloween, it's that these things that get the emotions going, and also very often the location is handpicked or the building is handpicked. They need to be in control of the building. And, for instance, the Bataclan, where this big concert were.
Mm, the nightclub, the concert hall, yeah.
Yeah, that Bataclan comes from, it's the name of an opera by Jacques Offenbach. And the theme of that is a conspiracy to overtake and kill the emperor. So.
Interesting.
These are the things, you know, they have these ways of waving these in as like a psyop into our subconscious without us really getting it. When you look at, for instance, the Copenhagen shooting, the name of the cafe where the shooting took place was the powder keg, the gunpowder keg. Yeah. And it was carried out, Guy Fawkes, the whole thing was connected to Guy Fawkes with the bombs. The name of this place and also the dates and so, and that was carried out on Valentine's.
So the perpetrators of all these, they're laughing up their cuff at us, at the masses not knowing any of this stuff, if you like.
Yeah. They're having a ball. But I don't think so anymore because they're getting very stressed from people like myself and you, pointing the light at them, because these operations can only be carried out in the dark. Mm. You know, that is also why this time, if you look at all the footage from Paris, it's in the evening. It's very hard to see any details. No blood whatsoever. If you've noticed, I think they've learned from their mistake, because there's so many people on breathing down their neck now, checking out all photos in great, great details. You know, every single millimeter is being checked, and the data from some photos, data tags in the information from each photo, all of these things are being checked by normal people. So now they need to shape up big time. So here suddenly we have, where instead of Boston bombing and where no people were killed either, but there you had liters and liters and liters of theater blood everywhere and horrible scenes. Here, not a drop. The only one I've seen with blood on him is a man that is being led away with a t-shirt with big blood stains. But check out the t-shirt. You will see it's inside out and back to front. So it's taken off. They sprayed it with blood, and then maybe they were stressed or whatever, but he put it on the wrong way. You can check it out, the photos. You can see the tag and everything. He just put it on the wrong way. Then I managed to get hold of photos from inside the Bataclan club, where here you have actually blood. You have instead of these 80 victims, they keep changing the numbers, if you haven't noticed. They keep changing the numbers, I think, to confuse us, to keep the facts away from us, or keep us in a state of confusion. So it was 153 dead, then it's down to 127. I don't know what it is now, 120. I think it's not that difficult to count a long line of bodies. I mean, we're talking like 25, 30 people. Oh, sorry, I miscounted. You know, that shouldn't happen. But here it goes up and down.
Why do you think they are doing that?
To confuse us, to all the time move it. So it's like a water painting on water.
Because you and I know that, I mean, if we lost a loved one anywhere, you know, we count that life. We count that person. Yeah. Surely every single family that has been affected by this will now be knowledgeable of their loved one passing away.
I totally agree. But what they've also done is that they divided the victims to many, many different countries. I would say, if this is a false flag, to affect emotionally as many countries as possible, because they're aiming these operations now globally. Mm. It's not aimed at one single country anymore. They're aiming globally. So here we have a long line of different countries. And there's some very odd things going on, because I know some witnesses to the events were called in by police, and police, one of the things they asked for was the nationality. And then they were, some of them were forced into the cafe where some of these mass murders had taken place. You know, that is not the way you do it. You take people away from a crime scene, not into a crime scene, because that would totally infect it. But here it's the opposite. And there's especially one Mexican lady, I think her name is Noemi Gonzalez, and she was at the concert officially together with her boyfriend. And her parents, when they heard about it in Mexico, they called her boyfriend. They tried to call her. I think they couldn't get hold of her, so they called her boyfriend and then spoke to her. This was after the event, and she was fine. She was shocked, but fine. Then she was taken away to be questioned by police, and then she ends up dead. Do you know? So the question here is, when you look at these operations, they're very cold, very, very sinister. So what is happening here? Is it possible that they took her away, killed her, and put her back, and so she was one of the victims, to involve Mexico as well, you know, in this long line of different countries?
Of course, and one British person involved.
One British, one Swedish, you know, one Mexican. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like how to involve as many as possible. And but also when these things happen, you have to be very aware to check these people out, because it's very easy nowadays to create identities out of nowhere. They create, you know, that people can have multiple identities as sleeping agents, agents, and so on. And just because there is a nice photo in the newspaper saying a name does not mean that this is a real person. In Photoshop, you can just take eyes from one person, the hair from another one, and just squeeze it in together. It looks perfect. And there, boom, there's a new one for you. And it's a victim, or it's a patsy, or it's a assailant, or it's a Arabic terrorist. You know, so easy. Also, the name, how they play us also. I haven't got his name here, but the first one, name that they went out with publicly about the terrorist, it was something that sounded almost like Abdul Islam Allah.
Yes, that's right. I heard that.
So, but it was not that. But when you say it, your subconscious will hear Abdullah. Oh my God, terrorist. Islam. Holy shit. That is for sure terrorism. And then Allah.
Yeah.
I mean, game set and over. So.
And was any of the terrorists, heard to shout Allah Akbar and all that type of stuff?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, right. And they said, this is because what you did to Syria. Yeah, right. And then they blow themselves up. Very handy, so that nobody can be identified. They find a finger to be fingerprinted. That's very handy as well. Where are the photos of, there were two explosions outside the stadium.
Yes.
Suicide bombers. I don't know if you've been to a football stadium. Everybody goes on the inside. There is no one left on the outside, which is perfect. No witnesses. Then you have two explosions, or were they? Because these sounded very much like they could have been pumped out over the PA system as well. Just big bangs.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, if you're not aware of it, but in basketball and many different sports arenas around the world, they pump out crowd noise.
They do.
There's a big dialogue in the U.S. saying, "What we need to stop this. There's no need for it. Even on local games, you know, they've got this big crowd noise. And it's like, what's up with that?
It's ridiculous. So, it's like canned laughter, isn't it?
It's totally canned laughter, but crowd noise, like, whoa, 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 all of these things. And then when the crowd cheers, there's one guy sitting up there with sample noise on a keyboard. Boom, crowd scream, boom, gold, another one, boom. And then it goes out through the PA system to make the whole stadium go, whoa. you can go on YouTube. There's several of the videos of the where during practice, when they're practicing, the crowd noise is there, but the stadium is empty.
Okay.
So we're in a time of manipulation in many different areas, you know.
And what about the media now? I mean, you know, I've sat down and I've listened to what America's saying. I've listened to what the UK and the Irish news are saying. It's all the same script. It's so unbelievably badly done. Are they now going to be clamping down on people like myself, people like the new media, because we are the ones that are actually, hey, let's discuss this, you know, let's talk about this. I mean, they're going to get to a stage now where people get offended if one states a theory about something just because there's been a death belonging to it. And they play this, you know, heart card, if you like, pulling on your heartstrings. You can't be talking about this. These people, they haven't even died properly yet. They're still lying there with hot blood in their bodies. And they make you feel this guilt for actually trying to establish what the feck happened.
Yeah, no, but it's already out there that now they're going to focus on people like you and me. We are the new terrorists, you know, to spread. No, you're laughing. That is it. We are labeled terrorists.
Well, I'm laughing because I'm Irish. I mean, I've been labeled a terrorist pretty much all my life living in England.
Well, I've received death threats, you know, and I don't even step on ants. I don't kick dogs. It's like, it is a bit weird what's going on here. So, strange times.
It is. It's very, very odd. And you keep doing what you're doing, Ollie, because I think it's absolutely important work you're doing, and all the other people doing the same. I mean, did you hear that RT interview with Geroj, Macaulay or something his name was?
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that went out pretty much the day after, didn't it?
Yeah, but this is the fantastic thing that is happening now. You know, they think that they're going to squash us. But the thing, do you know, like when I started talking about these things years ago, nobody listened. Now, when these things happen, I don't know how many invitations for shows I received since this things happened. I don't know how many emails. My Facebook is just cramped and clamped, or whatever you call it, with messages and please questions, all of these things, because people are waking up to what's going on.
Yeah, well, I'm honored you're here, Ollie, because I didn't chase you up, and the reason I didn't is because I knew you'd be bloody busy.
Well, no, but you're one of the guys that I really respect, so I contacted you because I know you treat this with respect and the way it should be done. So, but when I didn't come to the photos inside the
yes.
Bataclan, because the photos outside these areas, there are only bodies in the street. You see them covered, and I haven't been able to find really any bodies covered where the cover is, where the blood has gone through the cover. They look like lit de parade. They're lying there very beautiful with a blanket on top, but no blood on the pavement. And we're talking about heavy caliber automatic weapons that people keep saying Kalashnikovs, AK-47.
Why do they keep saying that? I mean, there were three French interviews I watched immediately after the aftermath, and each one said a Kalashnikov, and myself and my wife were sitting here saying, how do they know? It's a gun. To us normal people, it's a gun.
No, but the Kalashnikov is the guerrilla warfare weapon. It is the classical with the magazine, the bent magazine underneath.
Sure, but why say it?
Because then you think terrorist. It is Kalashnikov, AK-47. These are the two that are connected to what you think, Muslim terrorist. So these are, I would say, keywords. You have these keywords that keep being pumped at you. Terrorism, bomb, threat, terrorist, AK-47, Kalashnikov.
Sadly.
Sorry?
Muslim, sadly.
Muslims as well. So these are the things that goes to your subconscious, because maybe I would say when you hear the description of people that actually saw the people shooting, they came there in a BMW, they got out, they were dressed in dark clothes, some sweater without color, no mask, European looking, white skin, and just very methodically started shooting. And not like an amateur that would just hold the trigger and just do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do and just bullets everywhere. No, very clean, three shot at a time. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. These are skilled killers.
Okay, so these were trained people.
Trained people. That's the thing they use. Trained people. And then they say they blew themselves up, so they suddenly disappeared. So they, for one thing, there's no need for investigations or interrogations or a risk of them saying things that could be exposed. I tell you, there were no people blowing themselves up. These people that carried this out is still out there, very pleased with what was carried out, and so on. But back into the Bataclan.
Indeed. Let's get back into that club, that concert hall. And what about the passports? But we'll get onto that in a bit.
The passport. It's like...
I know.
It's, okay, you had the passport in 9/11. Do you know, like at the 7/7 bombings, were the same passport was being found in three different subway stations.
Yes, interesting. And they obviously make these passports out of the same things they make the black box out of in the aeroplanes. Because they're indestructible, are they?
Apparently. And also at the 7/7 bombings, they found this guy's driver's license. Only one minor problem: he didn't have a driver's license. So that is a bit of a, mess up.
That gets rid of the intelligent side of it, doesn't it? That makes me agree with you that it's not very intelligent what they're doing.
But it's because we are so asleep that they don't need to shape up. You know, if we were really on it, you know, like the general public, they wouldn't be able to carry this out. People would just stand laughing at them, pointing fingers and come on, give it a break, you know, go have a beer and shape up. But we just buy into it.
Yeah.
Also, they keep referring to the 7/7 bombings, if you haven't noticed.
Yes.
And here they talk about, I think it's called TAPT, that, this is the explosive, the same explosives that were used at the 7/7 bombings. Now, the only problem is that it seems like it was very high tech. Whatever they used at the 7/7 bombings was something very different to what I think we've seen before, because the victims inside these subways, wagons or whatever you want to call them, they were talking about like being electrocuted. More or less all of them were talking about being electrocuted, and then there were explosions from, or whatever it was, from underneath the seats. And what was found in the areas were very, very extremely modern detonators that nobody had really seen before, and traces of C4, that is military grade explosives. Mm-hmm. But the official story says that these four guys with no experience whatsoever had a bathtub. They borrowed an Egyptian friend's apartment, and they mixed in the bathtub, I think it was black pepper and things to bleach your hair with. And with that, they managed to get these bombs that could blow up, I mean, in an incredibly timed way, all of these stations at the same time and so on. And here they say, no, this is TATP. Sounds very, very advanced. We're back to the same bleach and black pepper. Yeah. And then they say they blew themselves up with it.
Yeah. No, it's looking quite incredible. Also, the fact that we have, the climate summit going on at the beginning of December. I mean, surely it's a lockdown. It's a scare the fuck out of everybody so that we can have the police and the military on the street to protect our psychos whilst they come to your town.
It's like now, for your security, no protests or demonstrations are allowed.
Yeah.
And also, this was done on a Friday, and more or less, so many of these are carried out on Friday afternoons, Friday morning, Friday afternoon. And I would suggest that it's because insider trading at the stock market. Because what they do is, as soon as these bombs goes off, they say, oh my God, because of our concern for the families of the victims, sympathy for them. We closed the stock market and everything else for 3 days, which is exactly what they did. And during these 3 days, that is where all of these insider things goes on. They lock the currencies and they make absolute billions. And then they have time enough before Monday morning to clean their act up so that